And welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. We're going to talk about everything you watched this weekend. A miraculous amount of football. All done not expertly. Not even necessarily consistently. Or at the level you might expect of a team that, I don't know, beat Alabama. Hey, Auburn! How'd that Peach Bowl go for you? Didn't go well. Joining me as always, Ryan. Say hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Yeah. No. I don't want to hear this pity party out of you. You, sir, you achieved a dream. You lived it.
Yeah, but
you took it with both hands and you dipped it in the sauce of life. At none. Absolutely. You had to go to Tampa. Okay, that's a cost.
So there's like two things here working on my psyche. One is the very real possibility that this is going to be the only important or fun or cool thing I do in 2018. It's a long year. I'm like moving directly onto the live show at the Popeyes buffet. That's the next maniacal thing I will put all of my effort into, to the exclusion of my own health and the well-being of my family and friends. That's one. Two, if I'm being honest, is like, I kind of figured I wouldn't have to do this podcast anymore. Like the TV offer or whatever. Like,
yeah.
But I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah. Life always drags you right back down, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, you still got to show up, man.
This is the worst mafia.
It is. It doesn't. You don't even get to kill anyone, as far as I know.
No. There's no. We're not making any money. We don't, slap each other in aggressive ways at dinner parties. We dress terribly.
Hey, buddy. On New Year's Day, you got no rules. Today, you got just right.
That's true. That's true. No, it was very awesome. I'm not gonna lie. It was super great to be the Onion. Especially because, man, South Carolina played a lot better once I got out there. And I'm not saying it was because of me, because I wasn't
I wasn't
the Onion for the fourth quarter. And that's when they sort of shut the door. But I was real worried because I didn't get out there right as the third quarter started. So when I did exit the tunnel, it was right after, I think, Michigan scored to go up 19-3. And I was like, oh, boy, this is going to be...
This could get bitter.
These are going to be some people who are not interested in my silly ass jumping around in an Onion costume. But then I got to run all over the end zone with Cocky. It was great. It was wonderful. It was the best. It was one of the best things I've ever done. And I am super glad I got to do it. And I got to give the big burly guy a Fry and Nanny sticker.
We did see on TV that happened.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, you took over that third quarter, not only via gifts and memes, but also via your impact on the field and the leadership you showed the Gamecocks as they battled back.
You really did.
Listen, me at the start of 2017, me being the Bloomin' Onion mascot seemed impossible, seemed unlikely. Should have just packed it up and gone home. South Carolina winning that game definitely seemed impossible. Inspiration was drawn, and I look forward to being the 10th assistant coach in Columbia this fall.
You know, without you, the Big Ten would have gone 8-0 in bowl games, but because you showed up to wreck Michigan's chances, well, first of all, they're going to blame Jim Harbaugh for this, not you.
Right.
But Jim Harbaugh didn't do anything wrong. It was all you.
Right. But because of that loss, that's why the Big Ten's not in the playoff.
Yeah.
If Michigan had won, they would have pulled Alabama off like practice at the Sugar Bowl, and they would have said, hey, no, sorry about that. We've made a change. Ohio State is here. They're ready. They're warmed up. They're taking the field.
It's top to bottom, the deepest conference. They won the Outback Bowl. It's like an episode of Black Mirror or something. There's all these bowl games going on, meaningless simulations, and eventually they all build up to something real. But no, not in our timeline. They just
no.
They just happen.
No, and you know the other thing too with all of this magnificence going on is I have questions about your experience with the suit. First of all, by weight, it's much. You say it's much heavier than you could possibly imagine, right?
It's that I don't know what the perfect way to. Oh well, no, I do know the perfect way to describe it. So today I flew back from Tampa to New York, and I was flying by myself. My wife had already come home, so my 1 year old, who weighs probably like 25 pounds now, I was carrying her around for like 7 hours or some shit in a carrier on me. And that's the kind of weight that at first you're like, this is fine. And after a certain amount of time, you're like, this is not fine. The Bloomin' Onion suit is that it's the same relationship where you put it on and you're not like, oh God, I can't move. You're thinking this is okay. And then you run a little bit and you're like, oh, this is going to be, yeah, okay. This is going to be uncomfortable. But ultimately it wasn't a burden.
So the suit is roughly one daughter heavy.
Yeah. That's the unit of measure.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. I mean, that's all right. That's bad. It's the kind of bad that's like, it's not going to be, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. It's like, I don't know if you've ever.
It's not as bad as eating a Blooming Onion and then trying to run.
I would agree with that. I think given the opportunity, if I had to race, we'll say Spencer, because Spencer's definitely in better shape than I am. Spencer hates running, however. And if they said, here, you have to run a half mile in the suit versus Spencer just finishing eating a Bloomin' Onion as fast as he could, I think I could beat him.
Mm. That's true. I might just if it were running, I might just hang it up. I've seen this before.
See, I think this replaces the Popeyes buffet as our event of 2018. let's circle back to the Bloomin' Onion. Let's hang on this note for just a few more months. Let's wait till like July when it's nice and hot.
Okay. Good. This is already making me ill. Thank you. What else do you want to know?
Now it's like the looming onion now.
Also, let's see. Can you hear what people in the stands are saying?
A little bit. Just like nearby people. My sister was with me. She was on the field helping me like figure out where to go and, you know, saying, hey, this person wants to take a picture or whatever. But not like extensively, no.
Okay. Because I just keep wondering if you can hear somebody in the moment, you know, screaming at you like, you suck.
Nah, not a ton.
Hey, onion jerk. Did you have you and I guess others around our company and sort of talked to Adam Amin beforehand. Did you know how big a part of the broadcast you were going to be?
Not specific. Like the graphic that they put up, some of that he had reached out to me and said, hey, can you like throw us some copy that we can use in this? So some of that I wrote and some of that they wrote. And I was like, well, maybe they'll use this, maybe they won't. And what he had told me originally was to root for a blowout, because then they'd have time to just sort of talk about this nonsense and ignore the game, which is kind of what happened once Michigan went up 16 points. Again, this is a reminder that Michigan blew a 16-point lead to a Muschamp team, which we should all savor for its own thing. But I honestly didn't know like if it was going to be a little something, if they wouldn't have time at all. I wasn't assuming that that was going to be the case.
Because it was a lot.
Yeah, no. They kept coming back to you. Like, it was, honestly, it was an unreasonable amount of Ryan.
It really went on. And like, it wasn't like a, yep, there he is. Uh-huh. Put up the graphic, tell some jokes. By the way, that man's a father, which was an incredible detail to mention on here. It was enough to where we could like, you know, we posted the GIF. We updated our post. Put the video in it. Oh well, there's another GIF. There's another GIF. It was very satisfying.
Listen, South Carolina did their part. If they hadn't scored multiple touchdowns in the third quarter, some of those GIFs wouldn't have happened.
Now, when you are chasing after Cocky, emulating the flapping wings, perfectly.
I should. That's how a bird flaps.
To be quite honest, I think you looked more flight ready than Kyle did.
Yeah, by far. If the two of you were poised in a situation where one of you had to survive a short flight, say 5 stories to the ground,
right?
You're definitely the leader based on the padding of the onion costume alone.
You're kind of wearing like a parachute.
Well, it's like an inverse parachute. And aerodynamically, you say, you know, it's impossible for a bloomin' onion to fly, but somehow it does. That's how you know God is real.
And also, chickens don't fly, so.
Right. Right. Good point.
I guess you're kind of shaped like the thing that falls out the space shuttle and lands in the ocean. That's kind of the shape.
Uh-huh. Yep. It's me. This is me with the members of Apollo 11 returning to Earth victorious, having been sufficiently fried in the Earth's atmosphere upon reentry.
Delicious.
Just a crispy golden brown. We also saw people in the stands taking photos with you.
Yeah.
Were those people like, hey, Ryan, or were they like, hey, Onion?
There were a couple of people who had either emailed me or whatever and said, like, I'm going to be at the game, try to come by this section, whatever. So yeah, there were a couple of people who knew that it was me. Most of the people, though, were just like, I just want to take a picture with the Onion. I don't think they cared that it was me specifically. It didn't help that that Matt, the guy who does it, who works for Outback, he did it the rest of the game. He did it last year. He, like, doesn't look vastly dissimilar to me. Like, you know, it's the kind of thing where if we were both accused of a crime that happened in a dimly lit area.
And you were wearing the costume.
And you were wearing a Bloomin' Onion costume. Yeah, I could see how I'd get my cousin Vinny'd. But you know, most people just wanted it to be about the Onion and not me, which is like all that it's really. It's about the team.
Yeah, you were disappearing into the character.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. No, I thought, you know, at no point did I think this is Ryan Nanny playing an enormous fried onion. I thought, you know, that's the Onion, man. You became the outfit, and I thought that was really. That's the most impressive part to me.
Thank you. It's the natural glisten helps with it.
It wasn't like, you know, Aunt Viv 1 versus Aunt Viv 2. It was all just one onion.
Right. Right. Thank you. That means a lot. As a result, I have no idea what actually happened in either the citrus or peach bowls. I know who won. I could not tell you any play that happened in them, any controversy that happened in them, any injury that happened, like nothing. Totally blank slate.
I catch up on the citrus.
I'll catch you up on the peach. Okay.
So, spraying missed field goals. I think every drive got to the 1 yard line and then was a missed field goal, both teams. And then at the end, Notre Dame had just go look up the play. This is really all you need. The one play, Notre Dame's last touchdown, and you're good because it was amazing. It might have been the best play of the year. And that was that. You're all caught up.
Okay. Good. Spencer, what do you got for the peach?
Yeah, if I just told you Auburn lost to UCF because UCF's real good and Auburn is inconsistent. Is that enough for you?
Which here's all I want to know. Pick another Auburn game from this season to the best that you think it fits. Like, what's the best sort of match here?
LSU. It's that LSU game. Whew. Yeah. Yeah, man. That's what it was like, except, you know, Auburn never really managed to pull away from UCF because UCF is a better football team. That's how that works. It's not like, oh, man, Auburn made some mistakes and this could have gone. No. You finished that game and you thought, UCF is the much better football team here. And I feel totally cool saying that.
I think the game it reminded me most of, what in one sense, was the Clemson game because Jarrett Stidham was running for his life the entire time. That's familiar.
Yeah, you know what else is really interesting when you go back and look at the tape of this? It could have been worse. It could have been way worse because UCF, they missed on at least 3 deep balls that I can think of. 2 or 3 that were there. Like, they called the right play. They blocked it beautifully. And Mackenzie Milton just missed.
This makes me feel better about the national championship parade that UCF is planning, which I don't know how you two feel about it. At first, I was like, this is some silly nonsense. You didn't win the national championship. You didn't play for the national championship. Stop it. I'm kind of coming around on it. Because what's the highest UCF's going to end the season ranked? Like, fifth? Fourth, maybe?
I think they better be top five.
Okay. Okay. So, but and like they literally did everything that was asked of them. They beat everybody on their schedule. They beat a good Auburn team that has beaten both teams playing for the national championship. Is it the most amazing strength of schedule in college football? No. No, it's not. Is there anything they could have, like, you know, I have a weird sort of appreciation for it because it wasn't up to them. It's not like they said, no, we would rather not play Oklahoma. We're going to play USF again. Thank you for the opportunity, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to stay down. We don't want to take the AP class. We're going to stay down here. So yeah. I say, fuck it. Like the powers that be, we're not going to give you a chance to be a national champion. So you just say you are. It's fine. It's a good throwback. It's beautiful. National champion UCF. Here it is.
I mean, I love it for like three reasons. One is like, if they're not the national champ, who beat them? You know, like name the team that beat UCF. I'll give you time to ponder that. The second is, this is the most college football thing there is just saying something that's not true. Just declaring yourself the national champ. Like that is all the sport had for like 130 years. You know, like just, I feel like I'm the national champ. What are you going to do about it? Probably nothing. And you know, also it's a very 2018 move. You know, whatever you want to believe is real, that's what's real.
That's true.
The even more college football thing to do would just be to find like one paper, one newspaper to say you're the national champion. That's it.
Might be Yankee will crown him.
Orlando Sentinel, come on down.
I mean, Dan Lebatard's crowned him. Just call it the Lebatard system.
There you go. Yep.
Bama has more fraudulent titles than that.
This is why.
I'm not joking.
No. And this is why Alabama wins.
You mean more fraudulent, both in the sense that there is more fraud involved and there are more of them total.
Both. Yeah. Yes. Bama has multiple more dubious titles than UCF's 2017 title.
And if Alabama manages to win the national title, and boy, won't everybody be thrilled with that? That'd be a satisfying end to a relatively exciting college football season. If that is the case, then who can claim a transitive win over Alabama? Yo, that's right, UCF, crown them. I don't care. Y'all feel good about yourselves. You should.
I was gonna say Syracuse.
Syracuse? Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. take that too. Whatever, Dino. I'm not gonna say no to Dino Babers on anything, at all. Right. And you know what? Dino Babers doesn't need to defend a thing he says because he can't. Because
neither does his team.
Yeah, neither does his team. That's what I was going to say. Love y'all. But point being, I cannot see anything. This doesn't hurt anybody. I mean, who does it hurt? Does it hurt you? If it hurts you, you're real fragile.
It hurts USF fans.
It hurts you. Okay.
USF, you had multiple chances. Multiple chances to stop this.
Let's say that was the actual national title game. How about that?
I'm all for that, especially
the war
considering
on
oh yeah, what you're about to watch in the title game.
It's more like the non-war on I the stand
the World War One on I-4.
Oh, yeah, statistically, it's the standoff on I-85. That's what it is.
Yeah, statistically, what you are going to get out of this game, it's going to be a 1/8 of what you saw in the war on I-4. It's the war on 1/16 4, whatever. It's not going to be. It's going to suck. I'm going to prep you all and just get ahead. Cut to this, you know, the spoiler, which is national title game. It's not going to make anyone happy.
No, it's not a war. It's like an 18-month property dispute settled in small claims court.
It's the I punty on I-20.
No, it's good. Throw it on a shirt. We'll sell a bunch of them.
That'll be great. So I think we've just decided. And we started this discussion with, it doesn't hurt anybody. And we've ended it with all three of us going, yeah, UCF's the national champion.
If they send me a shirt, I'll wear it.
Yeah. They're send us shirts. We will wear them. We will post it on social media and come to rue the day, because I don't know, UCF will beat Florida by 30 one day or something.
We should probably talk about the Rose and Sugar Bowls. Maybe.
Yeah. What do we call those? The losers bracket games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we have to talk about the sugar. I don't.
Yeah. You've all seen Bama games, right? It was one of those.
Yeah. It was a Bama game. You know, that's all it was. It was a Bama game. Like, oh, Bama's mad. Oh, look. They got a bunch of five stars. Just beat the hell out of a young quarterback. Wow. That's entertainment. Look, Nick Saban's so mad that he even has to play a football game.
Yeah. He got knocked down, though.
He did get knocked down. Didn't even change expression. Nick Saban doesn't even have, like, he's so pissed off by the fact that he has to even play this game that.
Yeah, you know that thing where, like, Cam Newton smiles through everything? Like, even when he wrecked his truck, there was that picture of him, like, lying on the sidewalk being attended to by an EMT, and he's still smiling.
Yeah.
Nick Saban is the other way. Like, Nick Saban, just, yeah.
Blessed and favored.
Nick Saban's wedding photos must be amazing.
Just a wet cat the entire time.
I could be out recruiting. Could be out watching film. I could be writing a
very exciting honor and privilege.
No. He invited recruits to the reception.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Hold on, honey. Hold on. I've got to text that guy in the third row. Say I'm really looking forward to him being a part of my team. I'm treating him like a son.
Rose Bowl, though.
Quality, y'all. Rose Bowl was...
Oh, was lit. So back to back, we got, what, two of the best three or four Rose Bowls ever? Back-to-back years?
Seems right, yeah. If you're a Stanford fan, three of the four.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was great, too. Think about
that one,
it.
That one had its own greatness.
They really can't go wrong.
I always thought that was the most respectful way to do it, because the doubt was never there. None. Removed within seconds. Seconds. I think second play of the game. Or was it first? I don't know. First three plays, all you knew that Stanford playing against Iowa was not going to go well for Iowa at all, which I thought was really courteous that Iowa got there, got happy. And then it was like, all right, about that hope thing. Yeah, we're throwing it in the trash compactor. Watch it burn.
So in this game, we had, at least in the first half, Oklahoma and Georgia both completely on brand. Like, you know, Oklahoma is being just devious on offense. Baker Mayfield is unstoppable. Georgia is running wild. I think at one point they were running for 20 yards a carry, but they weren't running. It was like 17 passes to 10 rushes at one point. Kirby Smart was just getting out coached. Well, Kirby Smart and his coaching staff was just, you know, what were they down by, like 17? Something like that?
Yeah, they were down 17 before the failed squib kick.
Yeah.
How they went down by 17, also, like a pass to Baker Mayfield. That was the moment where you were just like, oh, this could definitely, like, shit. They bought all the good fireworks. God damn. This could be bad.
Well, as happens with fireworks displays sometimes. You might lose a finger, and sometimes you don't budget correctly, right? Sometimes when you do these things, you manage to blow them early.
Yeah.
You don't pace your display.
No. You put the Macau Mahler, right? You put the like giant sparkling patriotism fountain. You put that on, right? You put the foreigner buster. You put that up a little too soon, and everyone's like, "Yeah, man, all we got left are a bunch of sparklers." Because for the third quarter, Oklahoma, by the time the defense just said, I think for a while, trying to just sort of hold back Georgia's defense. They were trying to sort of keep everything in front of them. And after a while, Kirby was just like, nah, man, here, cover one, man free. Why don't y'all go beat some people up? That's exactly what the receivers got no separation after a while. Mayfield was under pressure. D- didn't like what he was seeing, didn't look comfortable. And yeah, that was sparkler time. And that's when Georgia just began to put them screws on.
And Roquan Smith, if you try waving a sparkle in his face, he'll just eat it or something.
And it was weird because it felt like even when that was happening, Oklahoma was still having decent success running the ball when they did normal shit. Whenever they were like, oh, double end around, it was like, oh, you, no. Stop, why? Stop it. Stop it. But they didn't.
For my next trick.
Rodney Anderson finished this game with great numbers. 201 yards on 26 carries. 2 touchdowns. Like, Baker Mayfield definitely, the passing game had help elsewhere in the offense. But then you look at the running numbers for Georgia and it's just rude. It's just fucking rude.
Yeah, it's rude and brilliant. And the best part was, I mean, I think they would have been fine anyway. Both guys would have gone for 100, which is what they did, despite Sony Michel giving them the ball, right? She's very emotional after the game, man. I hate watching him cry, even when they win. But I think for a minute he thought he might have like handed the game to him. And that's hard to look at. Like, even in victory, you're like, oh, this is so beautiful. Please don't cry. Please don't cry. The second time that, like, I teared up thinking about a kid, like Joel Lanning. Oh, man. Joel Lanning, when Iowa State won their bowl game, Joel Lanning's like, thank God I don't have to play two positions anymore. Thank God. At last.
When do you feel that karmically Oklahoma lost this game? I have my answer, but I want to see what you think.
I think they lost it karmically the minute Mike Stoops was chosen as defensive coordinator.
So we got to go way back into time. Way back. Shit. We're really going all the way back to, like, Bob Stoops' parents' decision to have multiple children.
Yeah. Either that or the squib kick. I don't know. Like, but the squib kick, that's inexcusable. You can't have execution like that in a playoff game. That's a cliche, but like, damn, what are you doing? Just make one kick. One kick. One successful kick is all we're asking for. And they do that right before halftime and give them 3 points. And you go, oh man, what's 3 points here? 3 points is everything. Because without that, they don't get an OT.
I have a more aggressive answer.
Oh, okay.
When they decided to settle for a field goal in the first overtime. They had like fourth and a shortish one at the Georgia 16. And like, yeah, I get that, you know, you've got a good kicker. You want to just keep the game going, whatever, whatever. The play they ran on 3rd and 2 was pretty fucking stupid as well. Honestly, I would have just said, you know what? Let's just see if we can keep it going. Because you know that your defense has been extremely ass, and you know that your special teams have been pretty ass in this game. Not necessarily the field goal kicking unit specifically, but like it all sort of touches each other. It's all this food touches each other on the plate at some juncture. And I kind of just wish that they had just said, let's see if we can go get that yard, score a touchdown, and not give Georgia the ball back. I think that decision to just be like, well, let's extend this, like, how many times did you have to see a Georgia running back running where nobody was? The more chances you give them to do it, the more chances it was going to happen again. And then it happened again.
Yeah, and especially when you're dealing with an offense like Georgia's, which, you know, they're working on direct, man, right? Like, they're, you know, hey, give a running back a ball, and guess what? He's gonna score points, right? Like, he's just going to get 3, 4, 70. Especially if, you know, I don't know, your entire defense shifts to the left. The quarterback is visibly going, hey, we're running right. And only one person on the defense, I don't know what linebacker that was for Oklahoma, but oh my God, the poor guy. He's screaming just like, I see a car crash.
Iceberg! Guys, iceberg!
that was my favorite play of the game. It was like Sonny Michel and Jake Fromm look up like, hey, attention, everyone. I think we shouldn't run over there. We should run right here where absolutely no one is. Everyone think that's a good idea? Yeah, let's do that. Okay. Okay. Hey, everyone, we're gonna do, and then they did that, and it went for a touchdown.
And meanwhile, because... Mike Stoops says, "I thought it was a trick." I thought, oh, dang it!
Like, I don't know. Like, that's another point.
I didn't think they'd see that.
I'm gonna go back to that as my answer, because if you have one team with a bunch of with a freshman quarterback counting, right? Just go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, we're going over here.
We got numbers on this side where there's one defender.
Yeah, look, I think we have a 4-on-1 blocking advantage over here. Let's go there. Like, that's probably when you won the game, is when nobody on the other side, except for that poor linebacker, the little boy awake in the watchtower, right? On the Titanic, just going, hey! Is anyone awake? No, kid. No one's awake, man. Just get to a rowboat.
Buddy, we were fucked 2 miles ago.
Yeah.
Do you know how boats work?
That's it. It's the nautical defense, right? That's what it is. It's not that OU was slow. They were just working on nautical time.
We still have ad reads to get through. Shall we do a few before we...
Yeah, I got one. From Christopher, who, and these were, of course, if anyone's just now joining us, these were people who donated generously to hurricane relief several months ago, and we're still catching up on things that we owe them, such as this from Christopher: helping people is good, unlike Auburn. And I think it could be argued that Auburn helped some people this year, such as Georgia. You gave Georgia some adversity, and then you also were the adversity that Georgia overcame, powered them into the playoff. You gave UCF its national title claim. You helped Clemson get into the playoff too.
Mm-hmm. Think about which helped.
Which helped Bama.
Help
Bama. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm very excited when we manage to help Bama. That's what we need to do at all times, is help Bama.
Yeah, so, I mean, Auburn really did have one of the weirdest seasons. They went 2-2 against playoff teams. They went 2-1 against national title teams.
That's hard.
That's insane.
That's very difficult to do. I wouldn't recommend it. You shouldn't do that.
Really hard to do.
Don't do that in retrospect. Don't do any of that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah, it's not advisable. This is one of those years where, from the ER, right, in a full body cast, Auburn's like, in retrospect, I would have made some different decisions.
Probably should have just gone 8-4.
Spoiler, they won't. They won't make different decisions. It's not going to happen.
We learned nothing.
This read is from Wade. I'm drawing it because I'm the Northwestern asshole. Need long snapping lessons? Whatever you do, don't call John Henry. He ruins Stephen Demas's perfect PAT record. John Henry can, however, equip you with the vehicle of your dreams for your local donk parade. Call 1-800-JHP-5858. I have not verified what that number goes to, so I'm going to go ahead and say that if you call it, whatever happens, happens. That's not on me. I will say that based on what I can find, there was no perfect PAT record, at least for a season, in play for either of the two years, 09 and 2010, when Mr. Demas was Northwestern's kicker. I can only assume that, like all things Northwestern, this is a lie perpetrated just to make me angry, which is fine.
Medill grad, I appreciate your commitment to the facts.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know. I really, yeah, the integrity here on display is definitely worthy of the degree, which we all have, because we all went to Medill, and that's why we're in sports journalism and our authorities thereon. It's also why the Marriott Points program is obviously something we all feel deeply passionate about. The read I have is from Zach. My 3 and 5-year-old saw pictures of the aftermath in Puerto Rico and wanted to give what's in their savings jars. So we added that on. You might be done with the thanks, but if not, you can mention Lola and Amelie. Hey, Lola and Amelie, magnificent work. I really hope you're not listening to this podcast. It's not suitable for children. But if your daddy's playing this, well done.
It's not suitable for adults either. What would you say, like, who would you say or is the limited sphere of people that you're like, you should listen to this and it's okay?
We'll get back to that.
Okay.
Yeah, meaning I'm not going to answer the question.